Well, you're glad you're here this morning. Come on, help me out just a little bit. Most of the time, God will give me the title for the message before he actually gives me the message. And so I was praying, and this kept coming out of my spirit. Expect God. Expect God. Expect God. In other words, we need to expect God to do what he says he'll do in his word. Come on, help me out. We need to expect him to do what he said he would do in the Bible. And I don't think that we expect God to move like I know that he wants to move. Let me say that again. I don't think that we expect God to move like I know that he wants to move. Because I've been in third world countries. I've preached around the world. I've seen some of the most amazing miracles you could ever imagine. And you think, well, why does God do that there, but he won't do that here? We have too many things that take our attention away from God here in America. Come on. Too many hobbies. Too many channels. Come on. Huh? And over there, they have nothing. Some of them live in boxes. Some of them have no electricity, no running water. But when the evangelist comes to town, they expect God to move. And that expectation level causes the Spirit of God to move among them. And then miracles take place. Come on, we need to expect him to move. I hear people all the time, and I've been in the ministry a long time. They're surprised when God answered their prayers. They'll call me and they'll say, God answered our prayers. Can you believe it? I said, yeah, I expected him to. I expected him to. Didn't you? Apparently not. And I'm not knocking anybody. We ought to be excited when God does answer our prayers, but we should expect him to answer our prayers. Come on, help me out just a little bit. That's why we have the word. Mark 11:24, I love that passage of scripture. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, expect it to happen. Expect it to happen. Expect it to happen. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. It might not be automatically. It might not be instantly. It might take a week. It might take a day. It might take a month. It might take a year. But in God's timing, you will get it if you expect it to happen. Come on. You need to expect God's word to work. You need to expect it to happen. Whatever things that you desire. That's what Jesus said that. He said, when you pray, whatever you desire from him, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Expect that you'll have them. What's them? Whatever things you desire. God's got so much more for us, but we're not expecting it. And that's why we don't receive it. Psalm chapter 37 and verses 3 through 7. Trust in the Lord and do good. You'll dwell in the land. You'll be fed. I mean, how many was fed during Thanksgiving? Oh, my gosh, some of you were fed and fed and fed, right? I saw some of you come in here and turkey and ham was coming out of your earlobes. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Also trust in him and he'll bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. And then verse 7 finally, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't get in a hurry. Don't fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man that brings wicked devices to pass. In other words, don't say, well, look, you don't even serve God. Look what he's getting. No, no, no. Don't even let that enter your mind. It says here in verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight in the Lord. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. And then verse 7, then rest in the Lord and wait patiently for whatever you ask him. And you need to expect it to come and it will come. Come on, help me out just a little bit this morning. I've asked him, I'm trusting him, I'm delightful for him, I'm committed to him. And I'm resting while I'm expecting it to come to pass. I'm resting while I'm expecting it to come to pass. I'm not being all fretful. I'm not saying, oh God, I pray, how come it didn't happen? And all this other junk, come on, all this whining and bawling that he has nothing to do with. The Holy Spirit does not show up at pity parties. He shows up where there's faith. Let me say that again. He doesn't show up at pity parties. He shows up where there's faith. Where there's someone expecting God's word to work, expecting God to do exactly what God said he would do in his word. Don't ever limit God by having low expectations. Let me say that again. Don't ever limit God by having low expectations. Raise your expectation level higher. Expect God to do what only he has the divine ability to do. Rushing mighty wind. Get ready. It's coming. I know this for a fact. One of the reasons many don't expect much from God is because of low self-esteem. It's the truth. A sense of unworthiness, maybe because of the past sins in your life, maybe because of the way you was raised, maybe because you were in a bad relationship. It doesn't matter. Amen. Raise that expectation level. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as he made alive together with him, having forgiven you for a few things. Put that back up there. Don't get in a hurry. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Come on, help me out. All trespasses. All trespasses. Next verse, please. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having forgiven you all, it's all under the blood. Your past is under the blood. It's all under the blood. That means there's nothing that stands between you and your miracle, and you need to expect it this morning to happen because God said it would happen. Help me out a little bit. Just help me out just a little bit. Even though David missed the mark many, many, many times, King David, God still called him a man after his own heart. Think about that. Boy, that makes religious people mad. You mean God will forgive you of adultery? Absolutely. It's not a license to sin. You mean God will forgive you for killing somebody? Absolutely. It's like Joe Ritter said, the difference between all of us guys and the ones in prison, we didn't get caught. Right, Joe? Come on. I'm not bragging about it, but back in the day, I was in the 82nd Airborne Division. I left more than one man laying in an alley not knowing whether they lived or died and didn't care. You did that? And when I first got saved, all those thoughts, the enemy tried to say, hey, God can't use you. Look what you've done. Look what you, all this garbage, and tried to make my self-esteem so low until I got a hold of this. Listen, that the blood of Jesus Christ made me righteous. Come on. He forgave me of all my trespasses. Forget about all that stuff. He blotted out. It's all under the blood. It doesn't mean you can go out and do it again. You know better. It means you've been forgiven. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. David wrote in Psalm 62, verse 5 and 6, my soul, wait only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Whew. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Come on, help me out just a little bit. That was David's psalm. That ought to be yours today. And when your soul gets all excited, your mind, your will, your emotions, and all of a sudden anxiety tries to come and all that. No. Say, soul, nope, quiet down. My expectations from God, I expect him to do exactly what he said he would do in his timing. Come on, help me out just a little bit this morning. Expect God. You can't listen to what the news media says, or you will always be expecting bad things to happen. It's all bad. The news media only portrays bad news. The Word of God will give you good news. Come on, help me out a little. The gospel's good news. And we've all seen it already on television. This time of the year, the TV commercials are designed by the rich drug companies to get you to expect to catch a cold or the flu. They want you to expect it. So you'll buy their stuff. They show the husband or the wife in bed and they can't breathe and all this other stuff. Then all of a sudden you take a shot of their medication and everything's okay. And they actually get people expecting to catch that stuff. It works. Because Satan is referred to as the prince of the power of the air for a reason. He controls the airwaves. He gives you his vision through television and social media. What do you think television is? Satan is telling you his vision. And all this time that Satan's trying to give you a vision on these crazy commercials of guys kissing guys and girls kissing girls. That is an abomination to an almighty God. Don't fall for that stuff. Be careful what your kids are looking at on social media. It's a proven fact. It's caused many young kids already to commit suicide. It's a proven fact. Don't give little Johnny a cell phone and just turn him loose in his room because you don't want to take the time to help him out. Get off your lazy butt and go do something. Help me out. Come on. He controls the airwaves, but we've been delivered from him. I love what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Anybody listening today? Come on, help me out a little. Anybody going to expect God to move? You, has he quickened? That means word quickened, mean made alive. You, who he's talking to the believer today, not the non-believer. You, has he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, were past tense. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Someone else got shot, I think, yesterday somewhere. Why? Because Satan will use whoever he can use. And they're being controlled by the spirit of disobedience, the prince of the power of the airwaves. And they're not born again. They have no control over their flesh. And Satan will tell them something and they act it out. Be careful what video games your kids are watching. I better quit this. I'm going to get in real trouble. It's the truth. If all they watch is people killing other people and people killing other people, people killing other people. Give them a good deer hunting game. Let them kill the deer. Come on. Help me out just a little bit. Your wife, my daughter, Amanda, she's probably back with the youth. You need to trim your beard. I told her, I'm growing it down to here. No! Somebody's got to take Phil Robertson's place. It might as well be me, right? Yeah. Come on, help me out a little bit. Among whom we also, verse 3, had our conversation in times past on the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. They were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But thank God we're not. I love this. But God. Hallelujah. We were all that way. Who is rich in mercy for his great love, where he loved us even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. Come on, give the Lord a hand this morning. That's what he's doing. We need to expect to receive the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us, like verse 7 says. The world is expecting to get the flu. We're expecting to stay healthy. Come on. We're expecting to stay healthy. We are expecting to stay healthy. We made so many people in the valley upset because we didn't close our doors during COVID. So many people upset. hopefully we'll have another opportunity to make more of them upset. Come on. When the devil gets upset about something you're doing good, man, that means you're on the right track. Amen. 2020, when churches were shutting down, Todd Hines was building back here. I'm thankful for a contractor that doesn't operate in fear. He operates by faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need to expect God. We need to know what to expect from God because His Word tells us exactly what to expect. I love 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things, everything else, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I wish above all things that you prosper and be... Here we go, a prosperity message. What do you want, a poverty message? No, God wants to bless you. It was a blessing to see my wife go to Walmart before all the kids come in and stack the freezer up with goodies and stack the refrigerator up with goodies. And it was just a blessing just to see them go to the freezer and just get what they want and put it in the microwave and in an abundance of stuff. Amen. Come on, we expected that before they came. We need to expect to be healthy. We need to expect to be blessed. We've already blessed so many people out of this church, and we haven't stopped yet. Come on, we've blessed so many people. So many children around the world. Bartimaeus, and we know his story, he was blind, he was broke, he was a beggar. He got dirt kicked in his face every day of his life, but things changed in his life when somebody told him about Jesus. From the moment he heard about Jesus, he expected to receive his sight, and he expected the course of his life to change forever. Forever. Mark chapter 10. Can I tell you what the Lord spoke to me this morning in the shower? He always speaks to me in the shower on Sunday mornings. I thought, you know, since He always speaks to me in the shower, I should probably take more than one shower a week, right? Huh? I'm at the shower more often. Let me just say this. Now listen closely, because when He speaks to me, it's either for somebody in here or somebody watching online. We have a lot of people watching online. I want to make sure that I get it right, what He told me. He said, so many people have been in the condition they're in for so long that they've accepted it instead of expecting something better. In other words, they've been in their condition for so long that their acceptance level is higher than their expectation level. They've accepted it. We're going to show you there was a man laying by the pool of Bethesda. He laid there for 38 years and got healed. Doesn't matter how long you've had it in your body. Some of you have accepted that instead of expecting God. Listen, I believe this message is going to help you today. Help me out just a little bit. Does that make sense? Your acceptance level is higher than your expectation level. But here's Bartimaeus, blind, beggar, kicked dirt in his face. Verse 46. They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, multitude. There was always a multitude of people following Jesus. Always. Why? To get fed, to get healed, get delivered, whatever the case may be. Went with his disciples, and a great... Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. That's what he did. He was a beggar. And to be a beggar legally back in that day, they had to give you a beggar's cloak. You had a special cloak, a special coat on. They give you the authorization to be a beggar. Not anybody could beg if that was the case, man. I mean, they'd be a lot more people acting like they were blind. And you know how people ride the system just like they do today? It's just a fact. It's always been that way. But when he heard that it was Jesus, When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, scream, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He expected. Many told him to shut up. Mark says many charged him he should hold his peace. But you know what he did? He cried the more a great deal. Come on, he cried the more. Some of you have allowed the devil to shut you up, and you need to yell louder. You need to yell louder than the devil's yelling. Some of you yell pretty loud at your spouses. I know you do. Oh, listen, don't think my wife is just a little sweet little thing. Where's she at? She got a temper? Oh, she's been in my face. Thank God she's back there with the kids. I got to be careful because some of them talk to her on the phone every day and I might get killed. I mean, when we first got married, especially, we shouted our way through a lot of stuff. Glory to God. And look what he yelled louder. Why? He wasn't going to let them shut him up. Man, he wanted to get a hold of Jesus. When he heard about Jesus, he expected to be healed. And when he cried all the louder in verse 49, Jesus stood still. Let me just say this. When your expectation level gets high enough, Jesus will stand still for you. He'll stand still for you. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And you remember when Stephen, the first deacon to be chosen, full of the Holy Ghost, you remember when he was stoned? He looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing. His faith made Jesus stand. Is your expectation level making Jesus stand this morning? Hallelujah. Think about that a moment. Listen, this is a good message because if one person will get a hold of it, I know that one person got a hold of that message, let it go. Right there. One. I know there was more, but when she really got a hold of it, one person gets a hold of this, it'll change your life forever. Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, said, oh, now be of good comfort. He calls you. Come on. The first thing he did in verse 50, he casted away that beggar's cloak because he expected not to ever beg again. Casting away his garment, praise God. He rose and came to Jesus, and Jesus said, what do you want me to do? In other words, what are you expecting me to do for you? What are you expecting God to do for you here this morning? Why are you here this morning? What are you expecting God to do? What did you come here expecting to receive from God? This is good eating. This is the best meal you're going to have. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. What you were expecting to happen is happening. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Come on, help me out. Because he expected it. The level of his expectation changed the level of his life. He was no longer a beggar. I'm sure he went and got him a good job. Praise God. He followed Jesus. He might have just worked for Jesus the rest of the time till Jesus left the planet. Bartimaeus, well, listen closely. He had to confront those who was telling him to shut up. You cannot change what you refuse to confront. You cannot change what you refuse to confront. Don't be afraid of the devil. He's a defeated foe today. Come on. Don't be afraid to confront him. I don't tell these kids what to sing on Sunday morning because I'm not a dictator. I trust them. And I'm just going to say, they nailed it when they said fear is a liar. Come on. Fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. It will tell you it's never going to work for you. You're never going to change. It's a liar. He had to confront all the naysayers. Luke records that many rebuked him. He didn't listen to all the negative voices around him. He yelled louder and louder till he got Jesus' attention. The Apostle Paul was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was stripped naked and thrown into a dark prison, he was persecuted beyond measure, but look what he wrote to the Philippian church, Philippians 1, 20 and verse 21. Look what he said. According to my earnest expectation and my hope. Do you know biblical hope means having an earnest expectation? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That hope means having an earnest expectation. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now always Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by my life or by death. And then he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He expected God to be magnified in his life and even in his death. Through all the trials that he went through, he expected to finish his course with joy. And he said it in Acts chapter 20, verse 22 through 24. He said, I'm going bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things I'm going to have to go through there. Next verse. Except the Holy Ghost is witnessing in every city that bonds and afflictions. Could you imagine everywhere you went, you had bonds, afflictions, everything, trials and tribulations, attacks by people. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself. Why? That I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He expected to finish his course with joy. Some of you have lost your joy. And you've accepted that. And you need to expect to get that back this morning. Come on, because you got up out of the bed. You came to church. You see how the enemy tried to lower Paul's expectation level? I thought about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, man, when they were thrown in a fiery furnace for not worshiping this false god, this golden image that they set up. They expected God to deliver them, and God did deliver them. They expected it. Amen. Daniel chapter 3, just going to read verses 12 through 17 to you. There are certain Jews who you set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded you. They don't serve your gods. They don't worship the golden image which you set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them and said, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the image I have made, you'll be well. But if you don't worship him, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God you said that will deliver you out of my hands? They knew who God was. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we'll tell you right now, we're not careful to answer you. If it be so, if you throw us in, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of the hand of you. Come on. He not only is he able, but he will. Not only, you go ahead and throw us in, king, and our God who we serve, he will deliver us. They expected to be delivered. And it goes on to say that the king was furious. He was so mad, he had his men heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than normal. And he had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tied up, thrown in the furnace. They had their hats on, they had their coats on. Look at verse 22 through 30. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, rose up in haste and said, to his counsel, didn't we throw three men bound into the midst of the fire? They said, yep, yeah, that's true. And he answered and said, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come forth. And they came forth. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. Now look at this. The princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, they were all gathered together. They saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. Give the Lord a hand. Come on now. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered the servants that trusted in him. I'm convinced there are angels lined up waiting for someone who will expect God to move. Come on. I'm convinced they're lined up waiting for someone that expects God to move, especially in the midst of the world we're living in today. He changed, verse 28. It changed the king's mind and yielded their bodies. They might not serve or worship any other god except their own God. Verse 29, the king said, therefore I make a decree. Every people, nation, language which speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces.
Wow.
And in their houses shall be made a dunghill. You know what that is? Because there is no other, look here, there is no other God that can deliver like him. Come on, help me out. He said that. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Why? Because they expected God to deliver them. If you really want to do something, you'll expect God to help you. Listen, you won't find an excuse. Too many lazy people. I'm not going to go there for time's sake to the guy at the Pool of Bethesda, but he laid it there for 38 years. 38 years. And Jesus said, do you want to be healed? You know what he said? Oh, every time I go into get ready to go into the pool, somebody jumps in before me. I don't have anybody to put me in. You know what he should have told Jesus? Listen, the next time the angel troubles that water, I expect to be the next one in. I expect to be the next one in. But he was making all these excuses. Jesus felt sorry for him. He looked at him laying there, and he knew he'd been there for a long time, 38 years. Laying there for 38 years, and Jesus had mercy on him. The reason he was there for so long, he didn't expect to be healed. Somebody just laid him down there, and he had made excuses. Every time I get ready to go in, somebody gets in my way. But thank God Jesus had mercy on him. God didn't create us just to survive. He created us to thrive. Come on. Let me say that again. He didn't create us just to survive. He created us to thrive. He has wonderful things. Please listen closely. He has wonderful things prepared for them that love him and will reveal them to us by his Spirit when we get a revelation of it, and we need to expect it by faith. 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10. I love this passage of Scripture. It is written. Do you know you have to know what's written before you can expect it to receive from it? You have to know what's written. You got to get that book out. You having financial problems? Get the Bible. Do what it says about your finances. You're having health problems? Read that word of God. See what it says about healing. Expect it to happen. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But look at the next verse. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Come on. God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit searches the things of God, the deep things of God. And he expects us to use our faith to find what he has prepared for us. It's all in his word. It's all in his word. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Listen, it's according to the power that works in us. It's according to how much I'm expecting God to do it. Amen. Because along with that expectation comes His power. I've seen it happen. Listen, I've seen it happen after walking with Him over 46 years, almost 5 decades. I've been born again, seeking God, reading the Word of God, expecting Him to do it. And He always does it. Maybe not in our timing. Anytime, listen closely, anytime that Jesus found someone with great faith, you know what He was saying? He was simply saying that He found somebody expecting Him to move. That's it. I've got to go to the Roman centurion quickly. And, you know, if you have to leave to go to the float, go ahead and leave. We'll make you the CD. Watch it online today. I spent a lot of time on this, and I want to get it out today. And if we run late, I'm going to blame it on the worship team. They took too much time. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, we've got good worship around here. God is faithful. We do. You know, I mean, I'm telling you something. It wouldn't have happened that way if I didn't teach Ashley and the rest of them how to sing and Jimmy to play the guitar. No, just kidding, just kidding. I've got nothing to do with that except a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer. Look what it says here. When Jesus came to Capernaum, there came to Him a centurion. It was a man in charge of 100 soldiers. He was beseeching Him. He was looking for Jesus. And he said, "Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." The centurion said to Him, "No, I'm not even worthy that you come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Speak the word only, because I understand authority. I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I said to this man, "Go," and he goes, and this another, "Do this," and he does it. And he said, "I understood it." And when Jesus heard it, He marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Wow. Now I want to go to verse 13. And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, as you have believed, so it be done to you." And his servant was healed in the same hour. He said, "Go your way. Have you expected it to happen? It's going to be done." And the servant was healed the same hour. I want you to see something here. He didn't beg Jesus. He told Jesus about his servant who was homesick. He recognized Jesus' lordship, because one of the meanings of Lord is a person with authority. He realized that Jesus was the only one that had, he had 100 soldiers under him. He could tell this one, "Go, do this, do this, do this." But he understood that Jesus was the only one that had the authority to heal. You've got to get that straight today. I don't care what the doctor says, Jesus is the great physician. Come on, He is the great physician. He is the great physician. He is the great physician. He's the great physician. He understood Jesus was the only one who had the authority to heal his servant. That's why he said, "Lord, speak the word only, and I expect him to be healed." Speak the word. You don't have to come to my house. All you've got to do is speak it, and I expect him to be healed. And he was. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he's God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of them that expect him to move. He is a rewarder of them that expect him to keep his word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We as the people of God not only need to expect him to move while we're still here on earth, but we need to expect him to come back as well, because he said he would. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, are you looking for him? Unto them that are expecting him to come back, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I've said it before, I've said it a million times. I've got one foot here and one foot over there. And when my work is done, I'm out of here. I'm going home, praise God. I am going home. I am going home. I expect him to wrap this thing up one of these days soon. When Paul wrote his letter to Titus, a man that Paul called his own son after the faith, if you study Titus, Paul left Titus in Crete to ordain elders and set up the structure of the churches. He was a highly intelligent man. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, we're going to close in a few minutes. He said, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for, expecting that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Man, give the Lord a hand. We need to expect him to happen. Many of us, including myself and my wife and my family, we've lost loved ones prematurely. We have. We never blame God for it. We know there's a God of this world system. We know Satan comes to steal. We know he comes to kill, and we know he comes to destroy. We wept, we bended, but we didn't break. You know why? You know why? Somebody told me the other day, Pastor Jeff, how did you and your wife go through that? Losing your daughter, how did you go through all that? I buried two of my own brothers in less than 1 year, did their funerals. My other brother I buried years ago. And they say, you know why? Because we expect to be with them again forever. We expect to be with them again. We expect it. We expect it because God's word says it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. They only read this at funerals when they shouldn't. I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We have hope. That word hope means earnest expectation. Amen. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, this is what we expect, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I can comfort every one of you that have lost your husband, have lost a child, have lost someone prematurely who believed in God. You can expect to be with them. You can expect to be with them. Janie Saffel, I can't help but looking at her. Her and Bob here one Sunday morning. That afternoon, after he ate, did he eat dinner first? Yeah. After he read his Bible. Sit down, read his Bible, and he left. He walked out of here, right out of here. And he was telling somebody, I believe it was Pat Taylor, about heaven, about how he couldn't wait to get. Speak up. He said that that's the very Sunday morning. He said, I'm ready to go now. Went home after church, read his Bible, and died, went to heaven. Well, you know what? Janie's faithful. You know why? She expects to be with him. Come on, she expects to be with him. She expects to be with him. I'm going to give you one more verse. I want to close by reading one passage of Scripture that pretty much sums up everything that I've told you. And I hope that some of you get in the Word and read it for yourself. This sums up everything right here that I've said all morning. This is why we can expect God to move. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. This is his word. This is the only news that's not fake news right here. It's not fake. Everything else is fake news. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he needs to repent. Has he said it, shall he not do it? Has he spoken it, shall he not make it good? Come on, he will. Come on, give the Lord a hand. He will. He will. You can expect his word to work. You can expect him to move because he's not a man that he should lie. Let's pray. Father, I want to praise you. I want to thank you this morning for your word. And I thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. And I pray that someone, either sitting here today or watching online, that their expectation level is raised higher than it was before they came. That it was raised higher before they turned their TV on this morning. Lord, we expect you to do exactly what your word says to do. And that's not disrespect. You said, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. You want us, glory to God. You want us to expect it to happen. And I just ask a blessing as we enter this holiday season. A special blessing on everyone under the sound of my voice. Those down the hallway. God, just I want to thank you. This will be the best holiday season that we've ever had. The blessed one we've ever had. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Shake hands with somebody. Tell them you love them.